So we'll be getting Pneumocesta, Chrysis. So like this, the trailer tells us in a bunch of places and in regards to various mitzvahs that a person is over on them, or a couple of mitzvah essays that a person failed to do, as we'll see in the Mishnah, then a person is high kares for. What exactly kares is, you have the Rashi over here mentions that it's that the person's children die during his lifetime, Rahman al-Islam, which obviously, by the way, doesn't mean that every person who that happens to means that they're chayav kares. There can be other causes as well for that, but that's how Rashi learns over here. In other places, Rashi says, in other places...
Every person is chayav kares, their children die.
Well, one second. So we'll talk about how it is nowadays. Hold on. In other places, Rashi explains that what it means is a person himself dies young. So the Gemara mentions in Moed Katan that the person dies before 60 or before 50, different opinions over there. The Gemara also mentions that you can have a person who's over that age, and he can still have kares to yomi, like he dies all of a sudden. There's one place, I think, where it actually mentions that what it is if the person has children, that's both. If the person has children, then they'll die during his lifetime. And if he doesn't, then he'll never have children. I read him you. Because we have a general concept in Torah that young children can be a way in which Hashem punishes a person, because young children are... Everything's fair because it's what Hashem's doing, so obviously it has to be fair. The question isn't, the statement shouldn't be, it's not fair, it's we don't understand. But the short answer is that that's how it is, that's what it says in Torah. Why it should be that way, we don't completely understand. But the basic idea is that since children don't have yet their own schosim or their own averis, yet everything that they do is credited or discredited to their father, which is the famous thing why the father says Baruch Shabbat when the son becomes Bar Mitzvah, then in that sense the children are considered like a possession of the parent to that extent, and therefore that's after all, I mean it is fair because they themselves, the neshamas, will go then to Gan Eden, or they'll be given another chance here on earth to whatever it is. The point is that Hashem makes it work out for them. The masters would be either one, I don't know. In general, the fee of the chorus apply equally to both men and women. So the pastures, it would be the same thing, it would be the same thing that they could for the mothers, I don't know about that. But, be that as it may, though, that's, okay, so, yeah.
After 13, then?
After 13, then no, then they're on their own. With all that said, now you're asking, so nowadays we see that people are being over on things that are high chorus and nothing happens to them. So the Alpha Rebbe deals with that in Yedereth HaTshuva. In the Galad Hevav, the gist of the explanation over there is that applied in the times when the Beis Mikdash was standing, when therefore we Jewish people received our life force and our Hashpa directly from Kedusha. So at that point, what happens is a person did something that makes them chayav kares. Kares literally means cut off. So it means his neshama is cut off from Elikos unless he does tshuva. Having been cut off, it means the source of life to it is cut off, and therefore, so okay, a person can live for a certain amount of time on the stored up energy, so to speak, but eventually then they die young as a result of it. But nowadays, after the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say, we anyway don't receive our chayus exclusively from Kedusha. We receive a certain amount of it through the klippos, of the various nations among whom we live, etc. So therefore, in that sense, therefore, so you can have, okay, the person was cut off from Elikos, but they're still connected, to Klippos, and therefore they can still have physical life through that. So therefore, in terms of, aside from all the physical things that Torah entails, there's also the Rambam is actually these days, in Gimel Parashim and Rambam, So in Gimel Parakim of Rambam these days, a couple of days ago, the Rambam was talking about the idea that Kares is the ultimate penalty for the Neshama that is cut off from Elikos and doesn't have a place in Gan Eden. So there's that still exists, whether the Beis Mikdash is standing or not. But the physical part of it, the Alter Rebbe is explaining in Tanya, doesn't necessarily happen nowadays because of that business that we get our highest through Klippos as well.
And before that,
when the Beis Mikdash was standing, it would have been both. It would have been the physical and the spiritual component. The physical component that the person dies young, or the children die, Rahman al-Islam, or whatever, and also the spiritual component of what happens to them in Olam Haba. Anyway, so that's Kores in a nutshell. Obviously, as with everything else, a person can always do tshuva and reconnect the neshama to the Kohen. So then the Kohen is, and you also have actually a Mishnah in Makkos that mentions that if a person is Chayav Kohen, gets Malkos, then that patters him from Kohen. The pain and the suffering and the embarrassment and whatever they get from Malkos takes away the Kohen and Mechaper for their, and Mechaper for them. Anyway, so our Mishnah is called Krisus because it talks about the various Isurim, the various mitzvahs for which a person could be chayav kares for violating them. We're not really going to be discussing very little, if at all, about the actual penalty of kares, because that's not really negel halacha. I mean, that's up to Hashem, how Hashem is going to arrange it exactly. What we're going to focus on is more the what happens down here on earth when a person is chayav kares for something. So in particular, as we're going to discuss in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, that if a person is over the shogig on most Yisurim that are Chayav Kares, they have to bring a Chatas. So the main thrust of our Masechta, therefore, is going to be dealing with the different details of the Chiyuv to bring a Chatas on such cases, and also the related thing of a Korban Olah V'Yored, or also two other related things. First of all, there are some of them that instead of a regular Chatas, you bring a Korban Olah V'Yored, as we'll talk about. And second of all, also, we're going to deal with, later on in the Masechta, in the Fox, and towards the end, we're going to be dealing with the matter of the Oshem Tolery, where a person is not sure whether he did something that makes him chayav achatas or not, where if he doesn't bring a korban, he may be subject to yisurim from min hashamayim to be machatas for him. So the oshem tolu, so to speak, suspends things. The oshem tolu literally means suspended. So it suspends the punishment, and therefore it gives him a chance to do tshuva, and eventually, if he ever finds out that he actually did the aveira, then he's going to have to bring an actual achatas. That's going to be the subject of later prokim and all that. So those are the major topics of Masechta Krisus. So the chatas, well, any korban is only after tshuva. In fact, first of all, the chatas is only if the person did it for shogeg anyway. There's very few cases. We're going to have some. We had way back in Shavuos. We're going to have, on Masechta, a couple of special cases where a person brings a korban even if they did the aveda b'mezid. But in general, not. In general, a person only brings a korban when they did it for shogeg. And the shogig, by the way, you have a few different types of shogig, which also we're going to deal with in the Masechta. You have the shogig, you have the type of shogig where the person doesn't even know that there's such a mitzvah. You have the kind of shogig where he knows of the mitzvah, but he doesn't know that this particular item is osur. So for example, he doesn't know today is Shabbos, he doesn't know that this is a malacha, he doesn't know that this is his close relative, etc. You have also, we're going to deal with various other cases. What about, you have a case called Oymer Mutter, which we mentioned briefly in Tumura, but we're going to talk about it more in our Masechta, where the person thinks that the thing is actually Mutter. He thinks that there's no mitzvah in the Torah of Shabbos, or there's no mitzvah in the Torah of Arayas, or what have you. Is that considered Shogig? You also have, what if he's a Shogig in that he knows it's also, but he doesn't know it's Chayav Chatos? Is that considered a Shogig? That's another topic we're going to take up. Okay. So the Mishnah starts off. Shloshim b'sheish krisus b'torah. There are 36 things that if a person is over on them in the Torah, they're chayav kares. Let's listen. About half of them are arayas. Habala aim, person has relations with his mother. Baal eshes av, or with his father's wife, meaning even if she's not his mother, she's his stepmother. He's still, yeah. By the way, Rashi points out, when we say that they're chayav kares, we don't mean that's the maximum penalty. Some of these, in particular, the first few that we list in the Mishnah, are chayav misses based in as well. The first few that we have over here are chayav skila. There's going to be another group of them that are chayav srefa. Among the arayas, you have three out of the four misses based in represented. You have some are skila, some are srefa, some are chenek. Eshes ish, particularly, is chenek. You have none of them get hereg. But the point is, in other words, our Mishnah is not focusing on the misses based in for them. That's back in the Sefer Sanhedrin. It's focusing on the fact if the person did them without Adim Bahasra, then they get, and it was amazing, then they get Taras.
So when they get Taras, they don't get Misa.
It's basically, right. So in other words, for example, the first case of it here, Abala Aim. If there was Adim Bahasra, they told him, don't do this, you're going to be Chayiv Misa, then he's Chayiv Misa, and Misa is Machata for him. If there was no Adim Bahasra or whatever, then he gets Taras, and if it was the Shogig, that's what we're saying, he brings the Taras. Ha'abala'im, Baal Eshethov, is his father's wife, who's not his stepmother, Valakala, or his daughter-in-law. Ha'abala'schur, man has relations with another man, Valabahema, or with an animal, the Isham via Behema Aleh, or woman who's the passive partner in having relations with an animal. So that's six so far. Well, in other words, she allows an animal to mount her and have relations with her.
Oh, that's easy.
Yes. She can't be the active partner. She doesn't have the relevant date.
Okay,
yeah, that's it. Yeah. Hamaviyah Behema Aleh, that she causes the animal to mount her and have relations with her. Habal Ishovit, so next you have a man has relations with a woman and her daughter, meaning and then he looks back in Sanhedrin. It doesn't matter which order he married them, whether he married first, let's say first Leah and then Dinah, or first Dinah and then Leah, it doesn't matter, the mother, then the daughter, or the daughter, then the mother. But if he had relations with if he married one and then had relations with the other one, then he's chayiv mitzer or kares, as the case may be. By the way, I mean, you have some of these ones also have subcategories, because again, for example, isho bita, you also have bas bina and bas bita, you also have a woman and her granddaughter. So actually, when the Rambam lists these, he actually breaks these out. So he winds up with more than 36, because by breaking those out into distinct cases like that, okay. The Ashes Ish, also a man has relations with an Ashes Ish. And by the way, all these things we should also mention, even though the Mishnah is mainly speaking about them in terms of man, the woman, if she's doing it for Mazid, is equally well Chayav Kares, and if it's for Shogeg, is equally well Chayav Achatas. You have a general rule that all the Oinshin in the Torah, the women are Chayav in just as much as men, with a couple of exceptions. Okay. Habal Achosai. So far, all the ones that we listed are all ones that are Chayav some kind of Mitzvah. Skila, Srefer, or Chenek, as the case may be. Now the next few are only Kares, maximum is Kares, there's no misafasted. Habala Chosa, man has relations with a sister, Bala Chos Aviv, or his father's sister, Bala Chosim, that's only Kares, right. Bala Chosim, or his mother's sister, Bala Chosishtoi, his wife's sister, while his wife is alive. And by the way, even if he divorced his wife, he's still also to marry her sister. Only if his wife dies is he again allowed to marry her sister. Let's say for example, Yaakov marries Leah, let's say. After the Torah is given, he'd be also to marry Rachel as long as Leah is alive. Even if he divorces Leah, he still can't marry Rachel as long as Leah is alive. Rachel being Leah's sister, right, that's in the Torah, yeah. Only because of how it is, the Ovis kept the whole Torah, how Yaakov is marrying Rachel and Leah, two sisters. You have a great deal of discussion among the Mephoshim, because it was outside of Israel, and then so on, and there's a famous, because it was before the Torah was given. The whole concept, according to some of the Mephoshim, explained that the whole concept that the Ovis kept the Torah before it was given was primarily only in Israel. They didn't do that necessarily in football. There's a famous sikha where the Rebbe talks about the idea that because Yaakov had promised to marry Rachel, therefore he couldn't allow what's in effect his own personal chumrah before Matan Torah of not marrying two sisters to override his promise. Whereas after the Torah is given, you don't have that wiggle room. The Torah says you can't.
Question: whether Hashem made it, let's say even before Matan Torah, fine. It's the question though that if there's such an issue, why did they wish to make it in such a way?
Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question, but it's not the time to talk about it right now.
So
I don't know. Right now, offhand, I don't know an answer. But
Hashem thought it was not an issue before.
No, obviously not. But you know what? You have other things. You have other things. For example, you have Yehuda and Tamar, who have had relations, which also is also after Matan Torah, because he's her father-in-law and she's his daughter-in-law. And we just said after Matan Torah that would be Chayav Mitzvah, and Mashiach comes from them. And you have Boaz and Ruth, and you have a number of examples like that where things were done in a bit of an odd way.
I don't know. Understand that concept. The Avishah has all power over the Satan.
Yeah.
I guess the Avishah wants to be done in a natural way. So he did in a way with the slipper something otherwise when
so to speak, like it. Right, like this is done in a way that seems. Okay, but in other words, we haven't got that much time to go on this. It's way off topic, but the point is that you do have the concept that sometimes the highest things in Kedusha are done in such a way that appear not that they actually are also lawful, because the fact is it was before Matan Torah, but they appear in a way that seems to be improper. So, and here it was with Yaakov and the two sisters. With that, one more thing we should mention, some of the Mephoshim say, I think the Medrash maybe actually even says it, that the one reason why Rachel passed away shortly after they entered Eretz Yisrael, maybe the Rabban says this, I don't remember, is because of this idea that primarily they kept the whole Torah in Eretz Yisrael, therefore as soon as Yaakov is in Eretz Yisrael proper, he can't be married to two sisters anymore. One of them has to go.
Who says that?
I believe the Rabban says that, but I'm not sure. All right, anyway, let's get back to the Mishnah. Okay, Val Eishas Achiv, also a man has relations with his brother's wife, obviously when it's not a matter of Yibum. Val Eishas Achi Aviv, or his father's brother's wife, his aunt by marriage, in other words, is also Arayas. about Eishes Achiyima is important to this because actually that one is not an Issu Minat Torah. That one is one of the 20 or so Shniyos, the second level relations that are only also Midrabanan, so there's no Kares in it. Next, Eishes Achiyima, his mother's brother's wife, would be also only Midrabanan. So therefore, it doesn't really belong in the Mishnah. Okay. Valam Nida, also a man has relations with a Nida, then he and she, as the case may be, a Chayav Kares. So far, those are all the Arais.
That's the maybe.
Obviously, again, Kares is only the maybe. But the point, again, why we're mentioning them and why we're going to talk about them in the Masechta is that if he did it for Shogig, then he's going to bring a Chatas, and if she was Shogig, she's also bringing a Chatas. So we're going to have cases when we get there in the third paragraph or so of our Masechta, we're going to be dealing with a number of detailed dinim about that. Okay. So far, those are all the ones regarding Arias. Now, the non-Arias one, Baha Megadif. You have Megadif, which we're going to learn later on in the Gemara. There's two opinions. Either it means cursing Hashem, or it means like singing and entertaining in front of Avodah Zarah. We'll talk about that later. V'oved Avodas Kechavim, person worships Avodah Zarah. V'ha Nosin Mizari LaMoloch, person hands over some of his children to Moloch, which was a ritual where they would have them passed through a fire in honor of the... Because actually, so you have... V'ashrechet of Ma'al HaBachor, it's also somebody who shech or offers a korban outside the Azara. V'ha'oichol chometz v'chesach, a person eats chometz on chesach. V'ha'oichol v'ha'oichol malacha b'yam ha'korim, a person eats or does malacha on Yom Kippur, is also, again, the mezid chayav kares, the shogig is going to be bringing the chatas. V'ha'mafatim et ha'shemen, a person who compounds the shemen ha'mishcha, so the Torah gives us in Parashat Kisita a recipe for the shemen ha'mishcha, and the Torah tells us you're not allowed to duplicate it. And if a person duplicates it, then b'mezid is chayav kares, and b'shogig is chayav ha'chatas. Mefatim is maloshin pitro makter. It means to make a blend of spices. Because that was the Shemana Mishpah, was essentially oil with a bunch of spices mixed into it. We'll learn later on in that page the details of how the Shemana Mishpah was made. No, it's not just any spices. It would have to be the person does according to the particular recipe that it says in the Torah. X amount of this spice and X amount of that spice and so forth. Yeah. Then you'd be chayav kares for that, right? Similarly, somebody duplicates the recipe for the ketores. Also, a person who anoints himself with the shemen mishka. So you have, as we'll learn in the Gemara, the original shemen mishka that Moshe Rabbeinu made. There's another mitzvah in the Torah over there. You're not allowed to pour it on just anybody's skin. It's reserved only for anointing the kalim of the mishkan and the kohenim and the kings, and that's it. Nobody else is allowed to have it poured on their skin, and if a person does, he's chayav kares. And then you have two mitzvot that involve kares. If a person doesn't do them, bringing the korban pesach in the proper time and not having a bris milah in the proper time. Regarding bris milah, you actually have a machlokas. You actually have a machlokas for showing him how exactly is the person chayav kares. On the face of it, okay, so we didn't have a bris milah today, so he can always have it tomorrow. He can always have it the next day. When is he going to be chayav kares? The Rambam, in fact, learns that he's only going to be chayav kares at the end of his life. He lives his whole life and never had a bris milah. Before he died, he never decided to get a bris milah, then he's going to be chayav kares. The Raiva disagrees with that. The Shittim Kubetzis over here brings up an interesting point, which he says also, you could have, imagine, for example, the person didn't want to have a bris milah, and later on, those organs were cut off for whatever reason. Well, now he can never have a bris milah again. Okay. Well, so it wouldn't be on his death then. In that case, it would be before his death.
No, this case.
So these are the cases where a person is high of kares if he violates the memezid, or chafas if he doesn't b'shogig. And all of them, with a couple of exceptions, as we're going to say, a person brings an oshem toloi if he's not sure whether he was over on them. With the exception of the cases of the Tomei who ate Kodesh or who entered the Bet Mikdash, he doesn't bring a regular Chatas, and he doesn't bring an Oshem Toli with Neshu Ba Olav Yodin. He would instead bring a Korban Olav Yodin, which is a Chatas of variable value, a sheep or a goat if he can afford it, and two birds, one for a chatas, one for an ola if he can't afford that. And if he's dalos, if he's really poor, then he brings a mincha without flour, without oil and without levina. So, and in that case, there's no oshem toli for that either. He either knows he did it, or he doesn't know he did it. get rid of mayor. That's what the mayor says, that that's the only exception. We should say, in other words, that's the exception the mayor is saying among the loisa says. Everybody agrees that you don't bring a chafas for not bringing a korban pesach or not doing a milah. Rashi says the reason is because there can't really be hasra on them. You can't warn a person. You can't warn it's a sheval chaser. He's failing to do something as opposed to all the loisa says over here is the person is actively doing something. The Shichibu Kavetsis also brings up another point in that regard, which is, after all, that the whole concept of a chafas only applies to a loisa. So anyway, the point is, of these 36 that we mentioned in the Mishnah, so Pesach and Mila are excluded because of mitzvah tasei. Rav Meir is saying also we're excluding two more, tumas mitzvah shekachav, because instead of a regular chafas, the person is bringing an erev yored. The Chachamim say there's another one we have to exclude from the list that a person doesn't bring a chafas for it, namely megadus, where a person is cursing Hashem or singing or whatever for Avodah Zarah, whatever the definition of Megadeth is, as we'll learn later on in the Gemara. Because the Pasuk says there should be one Torah for you, this is talking about when a person brings a Chafas, that there should be one rule for you for a person who acts B'Shrogah, Yatsa Megadeth, Shein HaYisamaita. So as opposed to a Megadeth, he's not doing anything. Well, that's what we're going to deal in the Gemara, how it is that he's not doing anything. But that's what we're going to deal with in the Gemara, what it means that he's not doing anything. But that's what the Mishnah is saying. The Chachamim is saying there's no Maisa involved in the Gemara. That's what we're going to get to in the Gemara. We're going to have a Perek that we're going to deal with. We're going to have a few blocks that are going to deal with this Mishnah. By the way, Rishonim point out a few things in this regard. One is there are actually other things that the Gemara mentions in some other places that a person is Chayav Karis for as well. They're not mentioned in our Mishnah. So one possibility is, as usual, ton of a shear, just because the Tana mentioned things doesn't mean it has to be an exhaustive list. Some others say that those things can be included among the ones that we mention over here. For example, one of them is a Mefer Bris Basar, a person who is called as Moshe Farolasa. He had a Bris Mila previously, and he extends his skin in order to make it look like he's uncircumcised. Historically, Jews used to do that in those days, sometimes when they were among the Goyim in the gymnasium or whatever, and they didn't want to be openly looking Jewish or whatever. So some of the Rishonim say, okay, that's included over here under Hamila. So therefore, the mission is not to live separately. There's also the some of the Rishonim will say, okay, the Tana didn't mention everything exhaustively, and there's also a person doesn't have us for that. There's another point also, because again, it's not really a loisus there. But there's actually a case called Koris Medivri Kabbalah. The Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin that a Jewish man has relations with a Goyish woman. Then there's, of course, the famous thing, Kanoim Poygimboy, like Pinchas Zimri and Cosby. But if not, then his Chayiv Koris is called Medivri Kabbalah based on, because of Pasuk and Malachi, and in the Novi Malachi, that says that the person gets Koris for it. So our mission is not listing it, because again, first of all, the person not Chayiv Kappas for it. But in fact, the Oroch Omer says, that's why, he says, why doesn't the Mishnah begin? Shloshim Bashesh Nichrosim. Like you have, for example, Mishnayos and Sanhedrin. Say Elohein HaNiskolin, Elohein HaNechnokin, or whatever. So why doesn't it say over here Elohein HaNichrosin? He says that's why, because then it would imply that the list is exhaustive. And we know that the list is not exhaustive, because, for example, you have that Tareis Medivri Kabbalah, so therefore the Mishnah prefers to just say the expression Shloshim Bashesh Krisis Batorah, implying that there can be other Krisis in Divrei Kabbalah.
Did they make a difference if they were talking about a non-Jewish girl?
Yeah.
If she was married or not?
No, that's for that purpose. Okay.
Right.
Right.
So something today would be
mm-hmm. So what?
Today is a priestess because...
So, again, it's up to Hashem. How exactly Hashem does as far as Karet, we were discussing before. That's not necessarily...
Man with a Goyish woman?
Yeah. No, that's a Jewish man with a Goyish woman. A Jewish woman or a Goyish man, I don't know if there's any, I don't know what it's that, I mean, it's a serious aveva, but I don't know if there's...
Okay, you're saying about, what was it?
He was asking about a Jewish woman and a Goyish man. I don't think that
there's
right, so I don't know, I mean, there's no Kodesh Medivri Kabbalah there, it's a serious aveva, but it's not, it's not, as far as I know. Okay, so the Gemara starts off, Minyono Lomoli, Why does the Mishnah need to tell us a number at the beginning, 36? We can count the things in our Mishnah ourselves and come up with a number 36. Tosfos elsewhere talks about that. Yes, you have different places where you have, right. Sometimes the Gemara will ask the question because mainly they want to bring a point out of it. They want to say that, in other words, the we're going to say as we go through that there's actually a din that we're learning. Okay, so because that's the style of the Gemara. They ask a question in order to say the answer. Omer Rav Yechanan. Yeah. Omer Rav Yechanan, Shema Ston, Kulan, Behelam Achas, it teaches us that if a person were to be over on all these things in one Helam, so there was one period when he didn't know that any of these things are also, and he was over on all of them, Chayav, Achalachas, Achas, then he's Chayav, an individual Chatas for every single one. Therefore, it says 36. In other words, as if to say, the maximum number of chatos that a person could be bringing for all these things is 36. And not, strictly speaking, not actually, because we said a few of them are excluded. No, we said actually, well, we said anyway, a few of them are excluded. Pesach and Mila. Yeah, okay. The point there, the main point, so the Orach HaNer says, the main point that that Rav Yechanan means is, let's say when it's talking about all the arayas, you would think, in a sense, the Gemara is going to point out soon that all the arayas are the hekesh, that teaches us that Torah applies to all of them. So you would think, therefore, maybe they're all considered one broad category. Maybe if a person was over on many different arayas, he should only be chayav one chatos. And therefore, the Mishnah stresses that you have a number over here that each one is considered its own thing. So a person had relations with his mother and his sister and a nidah, etc. Each one, in fact, not only that, we're going to even have later on in the Masechta that you can have a case where one woman is also to him on multiple counts, and he's chayav multiple chatos for having. She could be, let's say, his sister and an Eish HaSish and a nidah. Let's say, yeah, we have a number of
each one.
Yeah. So for each one separately. Again, Koreis is if it was Mazid and he wasn't warned, or the Adim were disproved and based in, or what have you. Chatas is if it was Beshogig. So again, the focus of Onesefta is going to be more on the Chatas, is going to be more on the Beshogig aspect rather than the Mazid aspect. The Mazid aspect, really, again, in some cases you have Mrs. based in for those, and those are dealt with in Sanhedrin. In some cases there's Malkus, and those are dealt with in Makkus. But here we're mostly focusing on the Shogig aspect. So the Gemara says, by the way, let's talk about a few other cases where the Mishnah mentions something with a number. The true Hadatznan, also let's ask about this, that we learn in a Mishnah in Shabbos, Ovis Malachas Mem Chaser Achas. It says that the number of Ovis Malachas is 40 minus 1, meaning 39. Again, Minyan Alamali, why does it need to give a number? We can count them ourselves. And the reason is it actually teaches us Alacha. Same thing. If a person were to be over on all 39 of them in one helem, so let's say, for example, he knew that it's Shabbos, but he didn't know that these various malachos are also, then he'd be chayav 39 chatos. Okay. True hodetznan, dal mechusri kapar, obviously, if it was amazed, you can only give him skila once.
If he wasn't warned,
then chorus. But again, there can only be one Koreis because he only has one life.
Right.
Okay. In general, by the way, throughout, again, we're going to be focusing in the Masechta mostly on the Chatas, but for that reason, when we talk about how many Isurim there are in a certain case or whatever, mostly we're going to be focusing in terms of how many Chatos the person is going to bring. Sometimes, in certain cases, when there's Malkus, it'll also be relevant to that. How many sets of Malkus is he getting? But it's never how many Koreis is he getting, because he can't get more than one Koreis, and it's not how many Mrs. Basin he's getting, it's for the same reason. That person can only be killed once. Okay. So, true Hodetznan. Okay, how about this, that we also learn at the beginning of the next class, Dalad Mechusre Kapara, where it says over there were four cases of people who are Mechusre Kapara, namely where they have to bring a Kurban in order for their Kapara to be completed, and until they do that, they can't enter the Bet Mikdash and they can't eat Kachim. So again, Minyan Olamali, why do I need a number? We can count the four ourselves. The answer is La Puki Midi Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The answer is that Mishnah wants to tell us, not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Arma Heha. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov adds a fifth one to the list. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, a ger mechusa kapara ad she yizarek dam olam. A ger, we know that a ger has like this: a male ger has to have mila, a male or a female has to have also tefila. In addition, in the time of the Bet Mikdash, they have to bring a kapara. They have to bring a korban. they have to bring a carbon, a gear of gear, they have to bring a carbon, yeah. And after their gear, right. So, and we're going to learn the details about it in the second paragraph. An oiler or shlomim. I think we're going to learn about it on that text. We'll learn about it in a week, Bez Hashem. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov learns that the ger is considered a mechusta kapara up to that point. So therefore, actually, zorach dam olav until the blood is considered a mechusta. No, before that point, after he's misgayer, but before he brings his korban, he's still considered a mechusta kapara. Abshi is zorach dam olav until the blood of the korban is sprinkled on his behalf. Ahokin tam is valid. Therefore, the Mishnah mentions four. In other words, don't think that I'm listing things, but I may be leaving out things like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. No, I'm disagreeing with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and saying dafka four. That doesn't necessarily mean, by the way, that Rabbeinu Gershom talks about over here, at least with some of these cases, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's actually arguing halacha. It is a matter of halacha that the ger has to bring a korban. But do we consider him a mechusa kapara or not? Similarly, with some of the other examples that the Gemara is going to bring over here, it's not so much they're not arguing on the actual facts of the halacha, they're just arguing on how you would categorize it, how you would classify it. Okay.
So the Tanakhama
would disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He would hold that a ger is not considered mechusa kapara. Right? Okay. So we'll talk about that topic about a ger bringing a korban bez Hashem on that test. We'll also talk about what is it nowadays, what's the inyan nowadays when a ger is not able to bring a korban. Of course, how b'chlal are they able to become a ger in the first place? How are they able to marry into the Jewish people? How are they able to keep all the mitzvahs, etc.? We'll talk about that. But yeah, it's a point that needs to be discussed. So we'll.
I think they're
not gated. No, of course not. But obviously they are. It might be before the end of their gated. So we'll deal with on that test the details of that transition. Okay. True Hoditznan. Next, let's ask about another Mishnah in our Masechta. That says Dalad Mavia on Ala Zodin Kishgaga. There are four cases where a person brings a carbon hatas with if he was over on the Aveda of the Mavia. Just as much as if he was b'shergig. Because again, usually a person brings a korban only if he did the aveda b'shergig. A person doesn't bring a korban if he was machal shabbos mezid, or he ate chatas mezid, or he ate chelav, mezid, etc. But there are four cases, the Mishnah says, where a person brings a korban, where a person brings a korban chatas, even if he did the aveda purposely. So again, minyan alamali. So again, why do I need a number if we can count them ourselves? And again, the answer is la'apukin in redemption. Again, because the Mishnah wants to tell us that the Tana of that Mishnah disagrees with Reb Shimon. The Tana, Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shavuos HaPikadon, Lo Nitzan, Zona LaKapara. One of the four that we have on the list over there, where it says that a person brings a korban even if he was over bemazed, is the case of Shavuos HaPikadon, where a person swore falsely, where Reuven had deposited something with Shimon. Reuven is owed money by Shimon for some reason. The classic case is that he deposited a pikadon by him, and now he's asking for it back, and Shimon claims that it was lost, or stolen, or onus, or what have you, and they're responsible. So Reb Shimon says that you don't bring a korban, not Christ. Reb Shimon says you don't bring a korban for kapara if a person was over on that amazed. Reb Shimon says you don't bring a korban for it.
Oh, it says you're five stars.
It's not a matter of kares. It's not one of the krisis that's listed in our Mishnah. But once, again, our Masechta is mostly focusing on the cases where a person is bringing a korban chatas, or sometimes a korban asham, and among them are cases where there are certain cases where the Torah tells us that if a person is over on a certain Isser, whether it was b'shergig, whether it was b'mezid, either way he's bringing a korban. One example being the case of shifcha charufa, which we're going to deal with later on Daf Yud-Kes or so, where you have we're going to deal with also, first of all, the definition of what exactly a shifcha charufa is. Where we say it every day, Hashem shifcha charufa, but what is a shifcha charufa exactly? We'll deal with that definition later on in the Masechta. Anyway, the point is there is such a thing as shifcha charufa. If a Jewish man is mezana with her, then he has to bring a korban. There you have, that's an example where he brings the korban, whether it was b'shergig, whether it was b'mezid. So the Mishnah says there are four such cases. So the point is, Reb Shimon argues on one of those four cases and says one of the four cases which the Tana lists over there, Shavuot HaPikadon, where Shimon falsely swears that he doesn't have Reuven's Pikadon because it was lost or onus or what have you. And later on, he wants to do tshuva. Reb Shimon says he does not bring a korban when it was b'mezid. Ahach, Tana Dala, therefore, the Tana says over there four, saying, I disagree with Reb Shimon on that. There are, in fact, four cases. Yeah.
Okay. But they all still current, right?
No.
They're not.
No. Some of those are, no, not all of those shogig kamezid are kares.
So what do we include in the
because once we're dealing in the Masechta with cases where you can think of the Masechta, maybe a good way to think of it is, even though the Masechta is called Christus, maybe a better thing is think of it more as Masechta Chatos and Asham instead. The topic of the Masechta is mostly going to be about the Chatos and Ashamas that a person may have to bring. Most of them are in cases where a person is, would be high of Kodesh, the Mezid, but some of them are not. Okay. Okay. Two Hoditznan. Okay, next let's look at another Mishnah, which says, Hey, Mavian Korban Echad al Averis Haideh, that you have five cases where a person can bring one Korban for many times when they were over on the same Avera. So, Minyan Olamali, again, we list all five of them in the Mishnah, so in the Mishnah over there, so why does it need to start with a number? But the answer is Mishum de Kabbalah, Mishnah Sefer, because the Mishnah there wants to continue like this. One of the five cases is Nazir im Nifma Tumay Sarve. Suppose that a Nazir became Tumay many times, and then the Mishnah is saying he only has to bring one set of Korbanos. Yeah, one second. Now, what does that mean? How would you find that? On the face of it, once he becomes Tomei, he has to become Tahor, bring his Korbanos, start his Nazirus over again. So how do you have the Tomei again and again, and you'd be able to bring one set of Korbanos? The case would be where he became Tomei on the seventh day of his counting. So he became Tomei. He was counting 7 days to become Tahor. Then he became Tomei on that seventh day, because of a Nitma B'Shvi. Then later on, he became Tomei again on that seventh day. No, on the same day. Umani Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehudi. What do you mean? He became Tomei, and later on, that same day, he became Tomei again. So one second. Okay, one second. You're right. I'm sorry. It is talking about that a week later. Yeah.
Okay.
So he became Tomei on the seventh day, then a week later, yes. Umani Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehudi. So who would that be like? That would be specifically according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehudi's opinion. The Amun Nazirus Tatara min Shvihu de Chayel Alei. He says that when does his Nazirus Tatara, like this again, he became Tomei, so he has to bring his Korbanos and he has to start his Nazirus over again. So Rabbi Yosi. One second. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda holds that his new Nazirus begins on the seventh day, whereas the Chamin day begins only the next day, the eighth day, when he brings his Korbanos. So therefore it can come out that he can be bringing one Korban for many different Trumas. Because, in other words, again, he has his original Truma. Then you had his original Truma. Then he became Tomei. Then again he became Tomei a week later. So now you have three times he became Tomei, but he never had a chance to bring the Korban in between. So there was never a time when he could. Everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, that he can only bring his Korbanos on the eighth day. He has to have 7 days of Tara, and then he brings his Korbanos on the eighth day. Therefore, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda takes the view, since his Nazirus started over again on the seventh day, but he's only able to bring his Korbanos the next day, therefore you could have, he's bringing one set of Korbanos for all of those Tumas. Now that can only work according to him. According to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, that's what the Mishnah means when it says that a person can bring one Korban for many Averis. Because you couldn't possibly say that Mishnah would go according to Rebbe's opinion, who argues with Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, because Rebbe holds Kibbin the Nazirus Tatara ad Shmini Lechai Lale. Rebbe holds that the new Nazirus begins only on the eighth day. So how would there be any scenario where he's bringing multiple Korbanos for the same Tumah? If he became Tomei on the seventh day, and a week later he became Tomei on the seventh day, we wouldn't consider it separate Tumas that he would be, that there would be a Chiddush that he brings one because Kula Choda Tumah Arichti. We would consider it, in effect, one long Tumah, because he never came to a point of starting an Aziris Tara again.
That's the point.
And if you're talking about that in each case, let's say he became Tomei again on the eighth day, then Rebbe would say you still can't bring one set of Korbanos for all of them. Given the Yotza B'Shahar U'ya L'Havi B'Korban, because since already the eighth day is a day on which he could bring the Korban, Chaya B'Kolachas V'Achas, then Rebbe would say no, he has to actually bring a separate set of Korbanos for each one. So, today for that Mishnah that says that a nazir could bring one set of korbanos for many different tumas can only work according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda.
Is there anyone
to say that? Well, that's, yeah. Therefore, we see that Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Here also, by the way, it's relevant to ask what do we mean by all this? Therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that the Tanakhama actually disagrees with Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, which therefore would be as much as to say that since we have a Stam Mishnah like him, it would mean therefore the Halacha is like him, not like the usual rule, Halacha ke Rebbe mechaber. Usually we say when Rebbe is arguing against one individual Tana, usually the Halacha is like Rebbe.
But here, because
you have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, then that would be implying that we mean to say like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda.
So the Tanakhama would imply
that the halacha is like it. Okay.
That's the
point. In other words, but the fact that you have a Stam Mishnah might outweigh the usual rule halacha kerabbi mechaber. But again, not necessarily in all these cases is the Gemara saying that the Tana is necessarily arguing as a matter of halacha. It might be that he's arguing should we include this in the list. But not necessarily going to be arguing on the actual halacha. Okay, fine. My Rebbe or my Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, where do we see Rebbe's and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's opinions on the subject that we were just referring to? And by the way, we have to realize the way the Gemara was written, you know, when they first discussed this in the yeshiva, they could just mention Rebbe and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda without having to specify, and all the B'nai HaYeshiva knew what they were talking about, you know, Then when Ravina and Ravashi wrote the Gemara for us, they had to clarify. We Amarasim over here are going to be sitting and saying, what Rebbe Yosi Rabbi Yehuda? We don't remember back to when we learned Masechta and Nazir, so they had to write it out for us. Yeah. So my Rebbe or my Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, where do we see Rebbe and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? The Tanya. So like this, we learn in a Blaisa. It's like this. The Pasuk says regarding a Nazir that became Tomei. The Pasuk says, V'kidash es roshoi b'yoyim ha'hu. The Pasuk says he should make his head holy on that day. Meaning he starts growing his hair again, and he starts his nezirus over again. So what does b'yoyim ha'hu mean? It means b'yoyim ha'vas kobenos of divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says...
Sorry, it's interesting that the Gemara says that he grows his hair and becomes kodesh. We grow our hair, we don't have nezirim, but it's klipa, she says.
Okay, so how it is exactly that the hair of a nazir is considered that you have my modem on it, you can look, for example, Makudja Torah on Parshas Nasai. It talks about the idea of the hair of the nazir, about the kedusha of it versus the usual thing that we say. It's not so much that we usually say that hair is not kaddish or anything. We usually say that hair is soilus hamosim. We use the expression that's like it's like the excess, it comes from the excess energy of the brain that comes out of it. So. Okay, but by a nazir it is.
So what's the difference?
So what's the difference? You have to learn a mimer and look at your Torah, I see. Okay, anyway. So the kidash asuroshe b'yemahu means b'yom havos korbanosov divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says that b'yemahu means on the day he brings his korbanos, meaning that that's the day that he begins his nezirus over again. Now, everybody agrees that he only brings his korbanos on the eighth day, because the pasuk says b'yom hashmini. So therefore, according to Rebbe, when is he beginning his new nezirus? On the eighth day. So he became Tomei, let's say, on Rosh Chodesh. He became Tomei, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Elul. So his last day of Tara is Zion Elul. The next day, Ches Elul is able to bring the Korbanos. So Rebbe says, fine, Ches Elul was when his nezirus starts again. It really does. We're talking about, yeah. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says no. On the day that he shaves, which is the seventh day, so according to him, it begins one day earlier. So the Mishnah that said that you have five cases where a person can bring one korban from any averus, the point was to say that Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi, there could be no such possible case. There's no case where a nazir is able to bring one set of korbanos from multiple tumas. Either it's all considered one long truma, because he never started over his nezirus tara again, meaning you could have, let's say, so he became tomei, let's say, the Chodesh Elul, he became tahor Zion Elul, and then that day he became tomei again. So now he's going from Zion to Yud Gimel Elul, and then And then Rebbe would consider, okay, you know, he can't start as Nazirus powder, so you're Dalit Elul. So therefore, there's nothing to talk about that there's many tumas that he's bringing one korban for. It was one big tumah that he was tumah for 14 days. And Rabbi Yehuda would say that works, and it's considered that he started a new Nazirus Tara on Zion on the seventh day, and then he. Okay, so that's the reason for the number in the Mishnah. Okay.
They both agree
that he can only bring his korbanos on the eighth day, and they both agree that he has 7 days of Tara.
Right.
The machlokes is, when does his new Nazirus start? Does it start on the seventh day, or does it start on the eighth day? Keep in mind.
Does the Nazirus start before the korban was given?
Okay. Think of it like this. We're talking about, let's say, a person made a neder, he's going to be a Nazir for 30 days. Sam Nazirus Shloshim. So he started in Nazirus, he became Thomas on the Shloshim. So let's draw out the scenario in more detail. He started in Nazirus on days off. The 30th day comes out to be Aleph Elul or Shchodesh Elul, and that's when his Nazirus is supposed to be over. Strictly speaking, he's supposed to bring his Korbanos really on the 31st day. So, okay, he started in Nazirus, let's say Aleph Av, it's supposed to run through Lamed Av, Aleph Elul, we should be bringing his Korbanos. Aleph to Lamed, and then Aleph Elul, we're supposed to bring his Korbanos. B'di Ebed, as the Mishnah tells us in Nazir, if he brings them on Lamed Av, he's also Yod. Anyway, the point is, let's say, for example, okay, so let's keep things a little more simple. His Nazirus started, let's say, Tuba Av. So he's halfway through his Nazirus, and he becomes Tomer Rosh Chodesh Av. Eventually, he's going to become Tomer, he has to shave, he has to bring his Korbanos, and then he has to start his Nazirus over again. When he starts his Nazirus over again, he's going to have 30 days, just like the beginning. Exactly. So he hasn't done 30 days. So he has to start over and do 30 complete days. So the question is, when are those 30 days starting? Are they starting on Zion Elul, or are they starting on Ches Elul? So Rabbi Yehuda would say they start on Zion Elul, which is the last day of his Tara, and the day he shaves his head. And then the next day, Ches is bringing his Korbanos. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's already the second day of his new Nazirus.
And according,
why not? As soon as he shaved his head, that's the Kiddush HaShoreshei by Yemahu. Once he shaved, and once he finished his Tara and shaved, then Rabbi Yehuda considers it's the beginning of a new Nazirus.
And
Rebbe holds only when he brings his Korbanos, which is the next day. Two Hazitznah. Next, let's ask about another. Yoledes is another one. Two Hazitznah.
And she brings the carbon.
We're going to learn in a second later about when Yoledes brings her carbon. It's supposed to be the 41st or the 81st day. It's supposed to be after the expiration.
No.
One has nothing to do with the other. Fine. Two Hazitznah. Next, we learn in a Mishnah, again, in the second parak of Amos Echter, we're going to learn, Hey Mevi'in Korban Olah B'Yored. There are five cases where a person brings a Korban Olah B'Yored. So again, Dinyan Olamali, why do I need a number? So the reason is, again, a Korban Olah B'Yored is a variable value Korban. So if the person can afford it, then he brings a sheep or a goat as the korban, a female sheep or a female goat, like a regular chatas. If he can't afford that, which is called dalos, then he brings two birds, one for an oila, one for a chatas. And if he's even poorer than that, dalos, it's called, then he brings a korban mincha, which is a mitzvah, not to put oil and not to put levain on it.
And what is it called?
It's called dalos, the poorest of the poor. So the korban as a whole is called korban oila v'yored because it goes up or down depending on what he can afford.
Exactly.
So the Mishnah says there are five cases a person brings a korban oila v'yored. So minyan olamavi, why do I need a number if we can count them ourselves? The reason is mishum dekaplani sefer, because the Mishnah continues over there, nasi kayotze ben, that a nasi is also the nasi, the Jewish king, is also in the same category. Now, we have to keep in mind, a nasi, when it comes to regular chatos, most of the ones that we had in our Mishnah, for example, Chaleb, Shabbos, Arayas, or whatever, usually the rule is a commoner's chatos consists of a female animal, a female sheep or a female goat, whereas the nasi's korban is specifically a male goat. So there's a difference there. So what about when it comes to Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav or the other cases where there's a korban over the yard? Is a nasi bringing the same kind of korban as a commoner? So the Mishnah there says yes.
Meaning, in other words, an
animal or birds or whatever. La puki is Rabbi Eliezer. The Amanasi may be served, as opposed to Rabbi Eliezer. Yes, actually, and yeah, actually, according to the Tanakhama, that's what it is. In other words, that the, according to the Tanakhama, in those cases, the korban is the king is bringing a female animal, just like everybody else. Right, like a hedyot. So he's fine. He's not going to bring birds or mincha because he's not poor, but he is going to be bringing a female animal. Whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer, he's always bringing a male animal, and you don't have the concept of the special korban for a korban or the biyurim. So therefore, the Mishnah mentions five cases to say, and that the Nasi also does the same thing to tell us not like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Two Hadetznan Dalit Avos Nizikin. Now let's consider the first Mishnah in Bava Kamma that starts by saying there are four Avos Nizikin. Shur Bur Mava Eder Minyanu Lamali. So why do we need the number? So the answer is Lachukim in Rabbi Oshia, because the Mishnah wants to tell us not like Rabbi Oshia. The Amar Yud Gimel Avos Nizikin in the Gemara there in Bava Kamma. In the Gemara there, in Bava Kamma, Rav Oshia counts in a Braisa 13 Avos Nizikin. Now there, it's clearly not a machlokes in halacha. It's not that they're arguing that the Tanna Kamma is saying those are not considered Nizikin. It's just how we classify them. Do we consider those other nine that he's mentioning, are they considered subcategories of the four, or are they not counted for some particular reason because they don't have the usual rules of Nizikin or whatever? Okay, so what about a little of Oshia Minyanu? Okay, then why does Rav Oshia himself say 13? The answer is Vapoki mid Rav Chia, because Rav Oshia wants to tell us that he doesn't hold a Rav Chia's classification. Rav Chia counts 24.
So Rav
Oshia
is not...
So the Tanakhama wants to tell us not like Rav Oshia.
Right.
Rav Oshia in turn wants to tell us that I don't agree with Rav Chia's classification. And or Rav Chia Minyanu Lomali, then we have to ask, so why does Rav Chia who else is there? There's nobody who says more than 24. The answer is Lachoki Moise Umafago, because Rav Chia wants to tell us that there are two that he's excluding from his list, which are not in the same category as the other ones, namely Moise, where a Yid tells on another Yid and causes him to have to pay money to the government. Who said anything about Karis, but he's considered a mazik. He's considered a mazik. And the other one is Mefagel, is a Koyan who's bringing a person's korban and makes it pigle in the process, that he has the wrong thought in mind. So in those two cases, the person is a mazik, but he's not chayev in the same way as a regular mazik would be. In particular, usually the rule is a mazik has to pay me mesa. I have to usually pay from the best of his karka, of his land. But in the case of Moshe and Mefago, the rule doesn't apply. That rule doesn't apply. Okay, you actually have other Rishonim who learn that it does apply, and they explain there's other reasons why Moshe and Mefago are accepted. Whatever the point is that Abchia is mentioning 24. In other words, don't think that there could possibly be 26, namely the ones that I listed, plus Moshe and Mefago. You should know Moshe and Mefago are being excluded because they're in a different category. Okay. Fine. So that takes care of various Mishnayos where we have lists of things with a number. By the way, we learned in Tumura that these kinds of things are called Divrei Sofim. These kinds of things are called Dikduke Sofim, where the Sofim, the Udi Tamid Chachamim, counted up different things in Torah and gave us a number to attach to it. So that way also the value of the number a lot of times is that way if you're trying to think of all the different cases and you're mentally counting them off or whatever, then you can realize eventually you're missing one and remember to think about it.
It
helps ID them, exactly. Okay, so now let's talk about Omar. So we said at the top of the Omar that Rabbi Yochanan had said the reason why our Mishnah mentioned 36 is we said Shemason Kulam Behelam Achas Chayav Akalakas Achas, that it wants to tell us that if a person were to do all of these Yisurim in one Helam, then he'd be Chayav an individual Chatas for each one. So we have to figure what's the Chiddush. The Shlemus Potu Lagamri Lemotis Amrei. Now granted, you can't say that he should be completely potter, that maybe he shouldn't have to bring any chatas at all. Because after all, the pasuk says, "Ki kol asher yasem mikol ha'eva ta'ela v'nichasu." The pasuk says, anyone who does any of these things, any of these disgusting things, will be chayav kares. So obviously, there has to be some kind of penalty if the person did them. Ela ema, but why do we say that the person is chayav chatas individually for each one of them? Ema over choda and chayav choda. Maybe say, fine, if a person is over on one of them, he's chayav one kares or one chatas. But maybe say that if he was over on all of them in one halen, then maybe he's, maybe indeed he's only chayav one. He's only chayav one chassis.
Yeah.
The same way as he would say he's only chayav one karis, because again, a person can't be killed more than once, can't be punished more than once. So maybe you would say the same thing when it comes to the korban. Fine. The point still remains. In other words, that the pashtus is only getting one karis, so maybe then he should only chayav one chassis. So why is Rabbi Yochanan taking it as a given and saying that the Mishnah itself is implying that he's high of multiple chatos? The answer is, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, l'chach yotza koris v'achosei. You should know, that is why, like this, we have at the end of the parasha of Arayas, in parashat Achrimos, it says that anybody who does any of these things is high of koris. But by a sister, The Torah repeats the Arayas and Parshas Kedoshim. Most of them are repeated to tell us about the punishments that are involved with them, because in Achrim, most it just says you're not allowed to have relations with this one and that one and the other one. We read it in Kippur afternoon, but it doesn't say the punishment from Beis Din that a person gets for them. So all of them are repeated in Parshas Kedoshim, and with each one it says the person is Chayav Skila, the person is Chayav Sreif, or whatever.
It says twice,
but it's in particular,
one
tells us Karis and one tells Mrs. Basin. So, for example, let's say in Parshas Achrimos, the Torah tells us that a man's not allowed to have relations with his mother, then in Parshas Kedoshim, it spells out if a man has relations with his mother, then they get skilled. And then the same thing with a bunch of the other arayos. But then the Torah repeats in Kedoshim, it repeats the sister, and it mentions their koris. Now, we already know koris from Achrimos. We already know koris from Achrimos, because it says generally over there, so why is it repeated? So why is it singling out? Why is it specifically mentioning koris when a man has relations with a sister? L'chalik, to tell us that it's set to tell us to divide things. To tell us that if a man were to have relations with his sister, he'd be chayav koris specifically for that, and then also for each of the other arayas. In other words, that l'chalik means that we're saying once a sister is singled out, then we say l'lama de la klau kula yasa, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, that we learn from that every case of arayas is its own separate thing, its own separate chiyuv kares, and it's from that one case. So maski for a bibi ba'abaya, so the bibi ba'abaya asks on that, eime achoyso deporta kro nechayev chod Allah. Maybe you should say that the sister means only the sister. So the sister, the Torah mentioned Koreh specifically. Therefore, he's chayav one chata specifically for that. The kulon, but all the rest of the arayas, kimin de behelam achas. Since, after all, he did them all behelam achas, he didn't know that arayas are also, let's say, loin chayav ala achas. Maybe he should be chayav only one chata for all the rest of them. So the Gemara asks, what is your bibi ba'abaya thinking? Doesn't Rabbi Ba'abaya agree with what we learn in a Braisa? We say it every day in Davening. Anything that was part of a general rule, and then it was taken out from that general rule to teach us something, like in this case, where Achoso is singled out to teach us Kores, it doesn't just come to teach us about itself. It comes to teach us about the entire category, or the entire category. Take that. What's an example of that? The Pasuk says that if a person is Tameh and they eat meat from a korban shlomim, then they're chayav koris. So the question is, why does it mention specifically shlomim? Shlomim are included in the general category of kodshim, where you have psukim later on in Parashas Emor that say that if a person eats from kodshim when they're Tameh, actually the expression over there is that the yashid yikra v'la kodshim, but Rashi brings over here from Makas and from other Gemaras that really it means if he eats them, not just if he touches them. Anyway, that he's chayav koris. So why does it have to say specifically by shlomim? Lama yotzu. So why does it mention by shlomim specifically? La hakish aleihem, to make us hekish to it. Ma shlomim shem kodshim is bad. Because we need to know what kind of kodshim does it apply to. Ma shlomim shein kodshim mizbeach, just like shlomim or kodshim that are offered on the mizbeach, v'chayoven aleihem, therefore a person is chayav kares for eating them if he's tamei, af kol shein kodshim mizbeach chayoven aleihem, so any other kodshim mizbeach a person would be chayav for, yosu kodshe bedek abayis, as opposed to kodshe bedek abayis. That's the point. If we only had the psukim in Parshas Emor, you would not know that it's limited to kodshim mizbeach. You'd think also kodshe bedek abayis. As we learned in Tzmura, you donated an animal that was a Baal Mum, let's say, to Bedek Abayis. or you don't in any kind of.
It talks about which one.
It doesn't specify. That's the thing. It just says Allah called Shema Shaya Kedusha B'nai Yisrael
Hashem.
In Parshas Tzav, it mentions specifically which one. So like this, we would have thought. Let's say, and remember, we learned in Tamura, you could be makdish anything to Vedic Abayis. You could buy a pizza pie at Kingston Pizza and be makdish it. No, but the point is, if it becomes tame, you would think that you would think if it became tame, a person would be chayav kares to eating it, because the comparison with shlomim tells us that not.
But still, the Torah could have said kachin.
No, that's the point. In other words, it's an example of this rule of yosem and akwa lalamid. So the Bibi Ba'abaya has to agree with that rule. It's one of the Yudgimul Midas Shatron addresses to him. So why is he asking that maybe the Kodesh by a sister is teaching us only about the sister herself and not about everybody else?
The answer is,
Omalei Rabibi can answer us, by me no. Never mind that, because that I can show you that Lav Mi Amar Tosim Yosu Kodesh Verikabayis, just like over there you're saying that when we learn from Shlomim means we're excluding something which is not similar to Shlomim in not being brought on the Mizbeach. Hachanami, the same thing, fine, I'll agree that Achoisei is teaching us about some of the Arayas, but maybe not all of them. Ma Achoisei Shmiuchedes, what can we say, what unique feature is there about a sister that doesn't apply to all the Arayas? Shehi Erva, the Ein La Heter B'chaye Oistra, she's an Erva, and there's no Heter. There's there's no heter in the life of the one who makes us usher, who makes her usher. And why is she usher? Because she's your sister. There's no undoing that. She never becomes not your sister. Ask kol she'en la heter b'chaye osra. So you would argue the same thing would apply to any arayas which only exists when there's someone that makes it usher. Yosa eshet ish. So that would exclude, for example, eshet ish. She yesh la heter b'chaye baila. She could be mutter while her husband is alive because her husband could divorce her. So maybe you should argue therefore that you can't, from Achoiso, you can't learn that you should have to bring a separate chafas for Eishes Ish. And for that matter, Tosfos points out, by the same token, you also have the Gemara could have phrased it slightly differently, that Achoiso, there's no heter at all, as opposed to, for example, Eishes Och, where you have sometimes a heter. If the brother dies childless, then you have a mitzvah to do yibum. So therefore, that would be another example, let's say. The point is that you... So you could say, therefore, from Achoisei, I'm learning most of the Arayas, says Rabbi Yibabai, I'll agree, but not all of them. Where are you getting that it should apply to all of them? The answer is Amar Rav Yonah v'Tamer Rav Huna b'Rebbe Rav Yeshua. Fine, but Amar Kro ki kol asher yasin kol ha'teves. But the pasuk continues at the end of the parasha of Arayas. It says anybody who does any of these disgusting things, meaning hoyu v'kach hikishu. So now what you have is a hekish, and ein meshivin al hekish. Hukshu kol arayas kol ma'achoyse means the Torah is making a hekish between all the arayas and the sister, and that includes also the eshes ish, because she's mentioned in that parasha. It includes also the nida, for that matter, is another example where there's a heter, after she's melted, also Eshesach, all the other ones are all included over there, so there's a heter. Yes. Therefore, we can learn that just like a sister, a person has chayav kares or chata separately for her, and we know that because it says kares specifically by her, afko chayav an aleh b'fnei atzma, so the same thing all the other arayos. So that's the answer.
No.
So that's Rabibi Barabaya had asked the question, why don't we say it applies only to the sister and not the others? So we said the answer to Rabibi's question is because of the Hekish. Rabibi will agree with the Hekish, so there's the answer. He asked the question, now we have an answer.
But why did he ask the question?
He asked the question because he didn't know about the Hekish.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
He didn't know about that. By the way, an interesting side point over here is, you know, we mentioned in the Mishnah Eishes Ish, but you know, there's a sort of a subset of Eishes Ish, which is the case of Naira HaMairosa. You have the case where the Torah says we have a Naira, a girl within the 6 months after she reaches puberty, where if she's Mairosa, she's had Eidosin and not Nisurin. If a man is Mizana with her, then he, if she was Mazid, is Chayef Skila, as opposed to the usual thing of Eishes Ish, is Chayef Chenek. Rishonim bring, and among others, the Tosfos HaRosh brings in Yevamos, that Maram Rutenberg held that since it's not mentioned specifically in our Mishnah, then therefore that means that there's no Chiyuv Kares over there, and therefore no Chatas if it was B'Shogeg. and a whole bunch of Rishonim asked on the Maharam Ruv, how is that possible? And in fact, the Oza Ruah, who was a Talmud of the Maharam Ruttenberg, brings that the Maharam Ruttenberg changed his mind later on, but still, you have a great deal of discussion about the pros and cons. What was the Maharam Ruttenberg thinking? One interesting answer is somewhat related to what we're saying over here. We just said, Dovah Shahi Bechlal, V'yotzim and Akhfala Lamed. Oh, no, actually, we have a different rule. We have a different one of the Yud Gimel Midas, which is the 11th one, Dovah Shahi Bechlal, V'yotzim Lidah and V'dovah Chodesh, where you have a new rule that applies to it and not to the other ones. Then you can't Well, what happens with Naira Mayrasa? It's Yotza Lidyan Bedava Chadash, because usually Eshesh would get Chenek, and here it gets upgraded to Tchila. On the other hand, the Torah never says in so many words that it should be Kares. So therefore, Maharam Rittenberg can argue that it was Yotza Lidyan Bedava Chadash. It wasn't returned to the Klal, because the Torah didn't say any place specifically Kares. Therefore, no Kares and no Chappas. Getting back to the Gemara. Okay. Fine. So we said that the reason why we say that Chathos and Kores apply individually to each of the Arayas is because of a Hekesh with Achosos. But the problem with that is, Ula Rav Yitzchak, what about according to Rav Yitzchak's opinion? He starts out with, we have a general klal. The Torah tells us that all Arayas are part of a general category, that they're all Chayav Kares. The Lama Yotis Kares Bachosoi. So he says, why does it mention Kares specifically by Achosoi? He says, Laduna B'Kares V'loi B'Malkus. He says, to teach us that Achosoi gets only Kares, there's no Malkus. According to him, in other words, most Arayas, if a person was over on them and there was Age of Basra, they could get Malkus, the ones where there's no Mrs. Basin. The ones where there's no Mrs. Basin. No, according to him, if there's no Malchus, then there's Kares. But in other words, I mentioned before, if a Mishnah in Makkos says that if a person is high of Kares and they get Malchus, then it passes them from Kares. But Rashi points out over here, Rav Yitzchak disagrees with that concept. Rav Yitzchak says that the fact that the Torah mentions Kares by Achosai, it's again the Lamed of a Klal Kula Yotza, but not like we were saying before to teach us individual Chatos or individual Kares for each one, but rather to teach us just like by Achosai, the Pasuk says only Kares, implying that there's no Malchus. The same thing by all the other Arayas, there's only Kares, no Malchus.
That's
Rav Yitzchak. So according to the... Rashi is explaining what Rav Yitzchak is saying. So according to Rav Yitzchak, so according to Rav Yitzchak, where do we know that a person is chayav an individual chatas for each arayas? If he's using the singling out of achosos to teach us a different din, that all of these cases get only kares and there's never malchus for them, so where does he know that there's a separate chatas for each one? The answer is nafgalemi ve'el isha benidas tumaso lo sikrav. He learns it from the fact that the pasuk mentions that you're not allowed to have relations with a nidah. L'chalik al kol isha v'isha. And he says, what that now, the Pasuk didn't have to mention the El Isha, because obviously who else is going to be a nidah if not a woman? So it means to teach us that a person is chayav individually for each woman that he has relations with. So there you go. So he's chayav chasos individually for each one.
From
the El Isha. Because it didn't have to say the El Isha. It could have just said the ul nidah lo sikrav. Instead it says the El Isha, the nidah sumasa. So it means any individual Isha who's also to you gets a separate chatos.
If it had said nida, then it would be only from the
nida. And if you've done it twice with one person,
so then it depends whether it was Hela Mechot or Shnei Elamis, that we're going to talk about later on in the Sechot. It depends whether he knew in between that he was over an Issa or not.
What's the Pasuk?
The El Isha Benidas Tumaso Lo Sikra V'Galo Servasa is how the Pasuk goes. So Rabbi Yitzchak is focusing on the fact that it says the El Isha, which it didn't have to say because obviously a nida is an Isha. So it means every individual. No, but the point is, it didn't have to say the Elisha. It could have said Ula Nida, Ula Sikrav, and we know that a Nida is a woman. So therefore, it means that every individual woman, that's also to a man, there's an individual Chiyuv Kares and an individual Chiyuv Chatos. Okay. So the question is, but Rabbanan Nami typical Mivalisha of the Nida Tumasa knew that Rabbanan could be learning it from Natalie. So why do they need to learn it from Achosai? And instead, Rabbi Yitzchak is using Achosai for a different purpose, but the Chachamim are disagreeing and saying it's Lachalik. Why don't they learn it from Elisha? You're right. So according to the Chachamim, what are we using the separate Kores that it mentions by his sister? The answer is, The answer is it needs to tell us that there's a separate issue and a separate hatas for the Chachamim, even if you have a woman who's his sister, who is also his father's sister and also his mother's sister. Now, how do you have such a thing? So Rashi explains
a sister
who's also his father's sister and also his mother's. Okay, so Rashi brings from later on in the Masechta on Daf Chesvav, we have a case like this. We have two generations of Rishayim. We have a man had relations with his mother. He had two daughters with her. Then he later on had books of now these two daughters are his sisters as well as his daughters. Now he has relations with one of them. And he has a son, where that son is now, the family tree is fairly tangled over here. Now that son has relations with one of these women who is his father's sister and his mother's sister and his own sister. Now it's all one person. You would think he's only high of one chassid. Therefore, Achoiso teaches us that no, he's high of individually for each one. He's going to be high of three chassid for it. So the question is, Hani Lama Lohu L'Chalik? Okay, why do I need to be told you have a separate issue for each one? Hare Shemus Mechlokin, Vahare Gufus. The assumption of the Gemara was we're talking about suppose a person was Mizana with three different women, his sister, and then separately his father's sister, and separately his mother's sister. So the question is, why do we need that? Hani lamalu l'chalek, had a shameless machlokin, had a goof machlokin. It's separate isurim that are listed in the Torah. It's separate bodies. Each one is a separate person. Each one is a separate person. Obviously, he's chayav individual. So now we have that case of the tangled family tree, where even though it's all one woman, and after all, it's all one woman, and it all involves sisterhood. So you would think that he should be only chayav one chatas, if it was b'shogeg, because after all, it's only one person, and all of them are various kinds of sisterhood. And therefore, the word, the chorus, b'achos, comes to teach us, even then, he's chayav three separate chatas.
There were two different women.
Because it's one, even though it's one woman, but because she's also on three different grounds, because she's his sister, and because she's his father's sister, and because she's his mother's sister. Therefore, he's chayav three chatas. Right. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. We have to continue the discussion. We have to see where does Rabbi Yitzchak know that concept from. And I'm going to go back and forth a little more. Yeah. Okay.
The two questions, then last one. I remember. I knew I was going to get it off.